in order to find that point of stillness through which one can then move to the next plane or the next aspect of the same plane. Like there are people in this room, I know several at least, who are clairvoyant. That is to say, they can see more about who everybody is than those of us who are just looking at each other in terms of physical bodies. Now, their ability to see that way involves the ability to move from the ordinary plane of physical perception to still a plane of perception, but it's not physical in the everyday sense. But it involves that ability of to move vertically, so to speak. Now, from the other end of the spectrum, you could picture a sage, a fully enlightened being, exists beyond all the opposites, beyond all subjects, beyond all objects, beyond light and darkness. They're in a state of consciousness which is the void. It's the zero principle. It's the one changeless reality. And those beings have the capacity to move from a plane in which nothing exists at all, all the way down into this one, into a name and a form, in a world, interacting with people like us, and they can go back and forth like that at will, from the very highest imaginable state of consciousness to the lowest imaginable. And the ones who do that, we call teachers. Because they don't have to do that. Why would you leave a state of absolute bliss, pure consciousness, no self, endless duration? Why would you vacate that state of consciousness in order to participate in this world? And the reason they give is because they have compassion for the suffering of mankind that doesn't know that everything's okay. And because mankind doesn't know that everything's okay, things are not okay in a major way. And they've been not okay in a major way as far back as we can trace human history. Except for the golden age of Rama, which most Western historians claim to be a myth. They also participate in our planes of reality because they hope that maybe there might be some among us who would like to participate in theirs. Or there might be those among us who would like to do something helpful for other beings. If you ever read Gandhi's autobiography, which he wrote actually when he was rather young, but some people kept after him to write an autobiography, so he wrote one. It's in print, it's in paperback. It's probably worth reading if you want to read about an unusual human being on the planet. But the last sentence of his autobiography says, I've spent my entire life attempting to reduce myself to zero. That's how he ends his autobiography. I've spent my entire life attempting to reduce myself to a zero. Maximum benefit, minimum harm. It's also pointed out that for people that try to get a little bit of distance on what we ordinarily call the personality, if a person tries to get a little distance on their personality, which is somewhat easily, more easily achieved by developing the capacity to find it humorous in its antics. If a person gains a little distance from the personality and its idiosyncrasies and its likes and dislikes, then a person becomes much more aware of the fertility of the mind. Of the mind. Because the mind is the ultimate zero principle. If a person hasn't mastered the mind, not much is going to happen at the moment of death. If it all comes down to understanding that which is beyond all thought and beyond all pictures and beyond all images, if it comes down to that, then it's only through the mind that that kind of progress can be attained. Because only the mind can negate its own conceptions. They're not going to negate themselves. And they're going to usually be reinforced by those around one, which is why we hang around with people who have the same conceptions we do. Because none of us have to look at them, you know, since we're all in the right. So it takes some courage to question one's conceptions. But if one can get a little distance from the personality and its daily concerns, this becomes more possible. And one starts to sense that there's the mind, it's through the mind that freedom lies. But it has to be gone through. And it has to be given conceptions which are broadening. Which is what teachers do. They give bigger conceptions than the ones the pupil already has. Real teachers don't validate our current positions. It's been said that real teachers throw a person back on themselves by saying, look at your perceptions. They're, all that's in between you and supreme bliss is your conceptions. Your body's not a problem. The society's not the reason you're not enlightened. It's just our own conceptions are the only things in our way. And when a person realizes that, they're on the way. But that's a tough thing to realize, because that means insofar as there is a problem, it's me. It's my conceptions. It's not something called reality. It's not the next door neighbor. It's not the Iraqis or the aliens. You know, we're surrounded by aliens, of course. And so a person who's making a little progress starts to overcome the idea that if something good happens, it's because of something I did, and if something bad happens, it's because of something you did.